freaking cold.
You got frostbite yet?
In the frigid Canadian North, young pilots seeking adventure.
That's why all those guys are up here.
Battle the elements in World War II planes. This week, Audrey struggles in the right seat.
See the runway?
No, I'm really bad for that.
Slow down. We're going to be high.
And Devin faces a major system failure at 3,000 feet.
Breaker's locked on your own pressure.
Officer Audrey Marchand co-pilots Buffalo Airways DC-3 over the remote outpost of Toledo, 600 kilometers northwest of Yellowknife. Toledo is a regular stop for Buffalo's food and mail run. But today, Audrey and Captain Gord Cooling are here on a different mission, carting in a replacement oil tank for the police detachment's leaking furnace.
If they don't get the furnace fixed and the tank replaced, then if the house freezes up, all the pipes will freeze and break.
Audrey's Buffalo's greenest co-pilot, and she certified on the DC-3 this past summer. But she hasn't been racking up the frequent flyer miles.
I know.
Women's rights, and you want to be treated as equal, so.
You know that I know that I'm not working really often. I know that.
In fact, this is Audrey's first flight in over a month. Even with the grunt work, she's happy to be along on the trip.
It meant a lot for me. It really meant that, well, they finally got confident enough that they can put me on one of those trips so I can fly.
Gord is going to let his newbie first officer handle most of the flight home.
Hey, Audrey?
Yeah?
Make sure you periodically glance at the fuel pressure because I estimated that we'll blow that lock tank in 20 minutes from now.
Yeah?
I was more nervous because I really didn't want to forget anything or go too fast on one thing.
As they approach Yellowknife, it's time for Audrey's real test, the landing.
How far are on the ramp in 15 minutes?
19, you want
to
keep going?
Here's the boss.
But Audrey's so out of practice, she can't even find her target.
You see the runway?
No, I'm really bad for that.
You see those red lights, those are the tappies?
And they're right in front of us.
Right, it wasn't at 12 o'clock, but it's kind of like this. Turn right.
Turn right?
Yeah. Turn right 10 degrees.
She finally gets the plane lined up, but she's a little late.
I just started to get my plane ready way too close from the runway. I should have got it ready like before that, and it would have been like way smoother. I had seriously a hard time with that.
Now, Audrey's advancing on the runway too fast.
Slow down. We're gonna be high.
It's a rough, thoroughly rookie landing.
Okay, got her.
Just comes down to practice and experience, and she's a very fast learner. She just needs a little bit more time in the right seat.
I should be a little bit more up to what I have to do. I'm not fast enough.
But to get better, Audrey has to get off ramp duty.
I am frustrated. I just don't really show it. Well, I look frustrated, probably. I just don't talk too much about it.
When Audrey arrived at Buffalo 2 years ago, the ramp was a stepping stone where she could show off her energy and attitude.
Very hard, dedicated worker. She'll go a long ways in anything she does.
She became Buffalo Joe's favorite rampy.
Audrey definitely will not look at this as a job. She'll look at it as a way of life. And it won't become hard work for her. It'll become something that she wants to do.
So I really loved it for the first couple months because everything was new and everything was so different.
But last year, just when Audrey was on the verge of getting into the right seat, her mother had a health scare, and Audrey returned to Quebec for 3 months. While she was gone, the two rampies behind her, Andrew and Graham, jumped ahead to become the regular DC-3 co-pilots.
I just shoot myself in the foot when I did that.
My job is not my priority. My family is and will always be, so I don't regret it.
Audrey did eventually get her co-pilot slot, but the only hours left had been scraps.
It kind of leaves Audrey in purgatory because, you know, Audrey's not really getting her break to get her flying in.
She doesn't feel it's up to her to go to Joe and say, hey, I want to fly, this is wrong. It's frustrating for a guy like me to see that.
I just wish that something's going to change. But who knows?
Seeing somebody like Audrey lose their passion for the work is kind of sad because she's so happy most of the time.
I just don't believe in it anymore.
It's early the next morning on the ramp when Captain Devin Brooks arrives for work.
Hi, Devin.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. Not too bad at all.
Today will be his first flight in a while after an extended visit home to Ontario. Even his first day back at work can't dampen Devin's spirits. As he heads across the street for a quick goodbye.
I'll see you in a little bit.
Devin's girlfriend Janelle joined him on his visit home to the family farm.
This is Good Hope's here, if anybody's wondering.
Today, she's back at work with her Aunt Kelly sorting freight. But Janelle got more out of her trip than just some lessons on driving Devin's family tractor.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. What the hell am I supposed to say? I'm engaged, I guess. He got down on one knee. And he said, Janelle, I love you so much. Will you marry me? And I was like, oh, my God, yeah.
She took a double take and damn near fell off the tractor. But she said yes, I guess. She said yes, so that was a good thing.
I didn't even know how to feel. I was just shaking, you know, so nervous and whatever. But it was amazing.
It's about freaking time. Should have done that a year ago, bastard.
Today, Devin's on his regular food and mail run to Fort Good Hope. But time away from the cockpit of a 46 feels like an eternity.
That plane is difficult to get back in the groove, even for me. Just have to prepare yourself.
I never worry about Devin's ability to fly, ever. But sometimes I worry about those airplanes. They're old. You always just hope that they're going to get home, you know? So sometimes I worry.
The planes may be old, but Devin's crew is experienced. Mechanic Jimmy Essery and First Officer Ian Bottomley.
Brown. Start. Flat.
Buffalo 507, tower contact Edmonton Center, 135.81 airborne, wind 0.
Clear for takeoff 33 over center in the air, Buffalo 507.
The crew is heading 800 kilometers northwest to the familiar destination of Fort Good Hope.
New Buffalo 507, C-46, we're 50 miles to the east, touchdown 5 minutes after the hour.
It's an uneventful trip, until they close in on the Good Hope airstrip. Devin hears a noise from the plane's hydraulic pumps.
Can you hear it? I thought I heard something earlier in the flight. next cruise, we'll get him to look at the hydraulics there.
Going into Fort Good Hope, I heard the chattering of the pumps. So I could just hear the pumps starving for hydraulic fluid.
If there's a leak in the hydraulic system, it could mean serious trouble. The pressurized fluid controls the landing gear and other major systems.
Which runs the gear, the flaps, cowl flaps, the brakes, a wide range of stuff.
But the hydraulics can't control anything if the fluid leaks out before they land. It started out as a routine flight up the Mackenzie Valley. A Buffalo Airways C-46, piloted by Captain Devin Brooks, is headed to Fort Good Hope when it develops what could be a serious problem.
Can you hear?
The crew may be facing a leak in the C-46's crucial hydraulic system, which controls the landing gear, flaps, and brakes, all critical to a safe landing.
7-8-3.
Touching down, everything seems to be working.
There, go down.
But when mechanic Jimmy Essery checks the hydraulics, he finds a major leak.
The spinning here is split. I can't tighten it anymore because I don't want to break it right in half. We gotta slow down.
It leaked a whole bunch of hydraulic oil, and it was just seeping out through there.
That line right there, yes. Sitting right there, got a crash with it. Two-thirds of the way. Just a short leg, but we don't have one.
It's up to Captain Devin Brooks to decide their next move.
If we keep it positive pressure, there shouldn't be any pressure in that hook, right?
The leak is in the uplock, which holds the landing gear in place when it retracts into the plane.
If we put the gear to neutral,
yeah,
we won't have anything. It's just dangling on it.
Yeah.
Right, Ian? So when we take off, we'll just...
Devin decides they can minimize fluid loss if they don't employ the hydraulics to lock the gear up after takeoff. That way, they'll be pumping as little fluid as possible through the damaged fitting.
Nothing we can do about it here. We have no parts, so all we can do is keep the gear handle in neutral once we do get it up for the after takeoff checks.
Jimmy performs the only minor surgery he can.
We're just putting the hose clamp around it. Just trying to prevent it from tracking any more and flying off there.
If it blows off, their leak could turn into a gusher. With the wheels up, they disengage the hydraulics.
Looks good here.
It won't leak in place. Have to keep your eye on it. It will only leak when you select gear down. When the lock releases, that's when the oil goes to the gear.
All they can do is hope that the hydraulic system will hold pressure and lock the gear down. They'll find out when they land in Yellowknife. In the Buffalo hangar, Audrey's still stuck on the ground.
Fixing the wing tent.
After her disappointing flight yesterday, Audrey has no trips up on the flight board.
It's way too girly for a guy to learn how to use a sewing machine.
Her most exciting task today? Mending wing covers.
But if I don't do it, no one does it.
Disheartened, she turned to her grandfather for some advice about staying on at a job that's become a frustration.
He said, you don't have to do that. It's really your choice. His neighbor, his daughter is a flight attendant. He said, why don't you just give it a try?
The way Buffalo has been going, a flight attendant job at a big airline sounded pretty good.
So yeah, I applied, got my interview in Calgary beginning of October, and got my answer 3 days ago.
Now she's been offered a job and has to make a tough call. Is Audrey really frustrated enough to give up when her dream is to pilot an airliner, not a drink cart?
I'm on the way to be exactly what I want to do. So I go from there and I switch to something that, well, it's
not exactly what I want to do.
Audrey has just a few days to decide if she's really ready to give up on Buffalo. Outside, in the air just to the north, Devon's C-46 heads in for final approach.
107 Yellow Knife Tower, good afternoon.
Good evening, Bounder 284. Yeah, C-46.
Mechanic Jimmy Essery keeps his eye on the hydraulic fluid and makes sure the levels are holding. But until now, they haven't lowered the gear and put pressure on the cracked hose.
Buffalo 507 Tower, wind 040 at 5, clear to land runway 09.
Clear there, off to your right.
But they're about to turn on the tap. Jimmy's trying to hold the hose in place with a clamp, and the crew is about to see how it holds up under full pressure. If there's too much force, the split will open back up, spewing hydraulic fluid out the bottom of the plane. The crew could lose control of their landing gear, wing flaps, and...
Are we gonna have brakes when we hit the runway?
The C-46 is equipped with an emergency brake system.
You got a one-shot deal at the brakes. You know, there's a little red valve there. You can lift it up and you got one shot.
By manually pumping the red handle on the floor of the cockpit, a 600 PSI air charge is sent to the brakes.
You can't play with your brakes. You just slow down, you keep it as straight as you can, and then you just hammer them on. That's it.
But no one on this crew has ever had to use the emergency brake. If their timing is off, the plane could careen off the end of the runway. Ian Bottomley drops the gear, sending fluid coursing through the lines.
Lights coming. Three green and amber, shit down and locked. Hydraulics look good to us. We're colored to land, four lights.
It's time for the moment of truth. Will the hydraulics hold out? Approaching the Yellowknife runway, Captain Devin Brooks and his crew are hoping that the temporary clamp on their cracked hydraulic line will hold. If it doesn't, their landing gear may not lock, and they could lose their brakes.
Three green and amber should down and locked.
The three green lights mean all three wheels are down. The amber means they should be locked in place.
Hydraulics look good to us. Curvers cold, three set. We're colored to land, four lights.
Now, how will the gear hold up
100 for 90.
When the wheels hit the pavement?
85, 79. Little wind from the left.
The pressure holds, and so do the brakes. They've made it down safely. But as he rolls onto the ramp, Devin won't be getting any downtime.
We're going to start loading all these giant, awkward crates in it. We're going to have to tear them down and try and fit them in.
As mechanic Jimmy Essery heads off to find a replacement hydraulic fitting, Scott Blue is ready to help Devin coordinate a monster load. 13,000 pounds of generator exhaust parts have to leave for the high Arctic first thing in the morning. Which means they have to get it onto the plane tonight if the crew is going to leave on time.
Pretty ugly. It's going to be pretty ugly. We struggled mightily with a bunch of big boxes.
If we can break them down, that makes it a hell of a lot easier.
Go up a little bit, David. Go up. Up just 2 inches.
Ugly. Ugly ship.
That's good.
And now, the crew needs to rest up. It'll be another marathon day tomorrow. Next morning at Buffalo's Courier Depot,
Anderson Thompson,
a brand new Rampy is set to embark on his first day as a courier trainee. One of a Rampy's main roles. David Alexander will learn the ropes from Audrey. But Audrey's too sick of her job to inspire a keen new recruit like David.
This is not rocket science. Like, the job that I'm doing actually can be done by anybody else. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not the job that I was looking for.
Audrey's no longer making any effort to hide her frustration. While she made DC-3 co-pilot in her second year at Buffalo, she hasn't been getting much flight time lately.
I've been working at Buffalo for 2 years.
Are you a co-pilot or no?
Yeah.
You got a lot of hours so far or no?
No.
None?
Not much.
How come they say it's only a year?
Because it's not true.
That's good.
She came this far, it's a shame that it's just a little bit more and she can have everything.
She's more competent than most of those co-pilots, let me tell you that right now. It's too bad that it's maybe going to go by the wayside. And it didn't have to happen, but it did. And there's a couple guys over in that's working on the ramp right now that if we don't use them right, we're going to lose good guys for the future too.
Disillusioned, Audrey has to weigh her options. Stick with Buffalo or take the new flight attendant job down south. On the Buffalo ramp, the C-46 crew makes final prep for the haul to the high Arctic.
Hydraulic fluid, everything?
Yesterday's hydraulic problem has been fixed.
Well, hopefully everything goes well today.
Knock on wood?
Yeah.
Should be warm.
Devin's focused on getting his difficult load up north.
I don't worry from day to day. We had the incident with the hydraulic leak the day before, and I wasn't worried about taking the plane up to Cambridge Bay the next day.
Reset for departure. Props, line and line. Fire 160.
The flaps are responding, and it looks like smooth sky all the way to Cambridge Bay.
Clear takeoff 33 with a right turn, Buffalo 508.
Ready, tower south.
Ready,
tower
south. Ready, tower south. 15.
We did the after takeoff checks, and everything looked tickety-boo. It was a beautiful day. It was a cloud in the sky, so that was going to our advantage as well.
But as Devin and crew climbed toward cruising altitude, not everything is looking up.
Well, just the airspeed, you know, we weren't picking up in the airspeed like we should. It just was not accelerating as fast as we should, and it would only go so fast, and we should have been going a lot faster than that.
There's a reason, but the crew can't see it. With no view of the tail, they don't realize their tail gear hasn't retracted, creating drag on the plane.
There was something going on there, but we still weren't 100% sure that the tail wheel was dragging.
And heading out over Great Slave Lake, they find the landing gear is just one symptom of a much bigger problem.
We just lost hydraulic pressure.
You what?
Just lost hydraulic pressure. Are those valves on?
Yep.
I'm here, Richard. Tell
we lost it.
What's this say, Jimmy?
The hydraulic gauges for the main system and the two hydraulic pumps went to zero. And that's not really supposed to happen.
We lost it all.
Yesterday's problem was supposed to be fixed, but Devin and Ian get no response from the controls.
That's how you can tell.
Yeah. The day before's events that we're running through, you know, is all this hydraulic fluid just pouring out somewhere.
If the hose is leaking again, it's a lot worse than before. They've got no brakes, no wing flaps, no main landing gear. 3,000 feet up and no safe way to get on the ground.
They got no pressure at all.
Feet up in the air just north of Yellowknife, Captain Devin Brooks is facing a major systems failure.
I wonder where that leak is coming from.
Something broke. Some line broke somewhere.
Just minutes into their flight to the far north, He and his crew have lost all hydraulic pressure in their C-46 and control of their landing gear, wing flaps, and brakes.
Roger, down, buddy. Bring it up first.
Yeah, first officer first. Ian Bottomley resets the gear control in the upright position and then tries to coax the wheels back down.
I got nothing.
Are those, on for sure, Jimmy?
Yeah. But the oil is not circulating in the tank where the pumps are.
Bring it up for now.
Better.
This is company. Go ahead, TXW.
Devin reports the crisis to Buffalo HQ.
Yeah, we have no hydraulics, so we'll be out over or in Slade for a while. We'll keep good form. We're with Dallas here.
Okay, understood. I'll find Rod and relay the message. He'll probably want to come up here and grab you on the radio.
We got up to 3,500 feet just because, in my eyes, the more altitude you have, the better.
With a little more space between his plane and the ground, Devin hopes he can come up with a plan.
I guess we had 5 or 6 hours fuel on board.
But right now, the crew still has no idea how they're going to get back on the tarmac. Down on the Yellowknife ramp, a DC-3 freighter taxis in with a load from Hay River. New rampy David Alexander has already figured out that a good attitude is the best way to get ahead here. But Audrey has a hard time doing the same job as the new guy.
I was 22 when I showed up here, and 2 years after, at 24, I feel like I'm the exact same point.
New senior manager Dwayne Hicks sees Audrey's decline as a huge waste.
I've watched her the last few days. It's frustrating to see that happen, to see somebody hidden behind that attitude she has.
But Dwayne's concern has come too late. As Audrey heads home for an early lunch break, she's made her big decision.
Yeah, time to tell the company that I'll be heading south and then my time at Buffalo is over.
For the first time in weeks, Audrey's enthusiastic spirit is showing.
I'm really happy. I'm really happy to move on. To move on to something else. Something that will obviously be better.
But giving up on our goals hasn't been an easy decision. And the hardest part comes next.
I know that I will be really stressed when I'll be telling Joe, but it's part of the deal and has to be done. Has to be done, has to be well done, and it's time to do it. I don't know what to expect. I hope it's going to be good. I hope he's not going to overreact.
She'll find out in just a couple of hours. In the air over Great Slave Lake, Devin Brooks and his crew are still flying with no hydraulics, which means no wing flaps and no landing gear. With no sign of life in the system, Devin comes up with a plan of action.
Hey, Jimmy?
Yeah,
we're going to try to delay this gear.
Jimmy pulls the emergency gear release. This handle releases the landing gear, allowing the wheels to drop from the wheel wells. But there's still no hydraulic pressure to lock the wheels down. If the gear isn't locked, it will collapse, sending the C-46 skidding out of control on its belly. Locking the gear is all up to Jimmy.
Just get the shit off the hellhole.
The hellhole leads down into a freezing, noisy cavity under the cockpit. But just inside the hatch is a hand crank designed to lock the gears down manually.
They'll only come down part way, and you have to get down and literally crank them down the rest of the way and lock them.
While Jimmy gets to work, Devin updates the tower.
Buffalo 508, just want to get some more information on the nature of your problem. Is it a landing gear issue?
Yeah, it is a landing gear issue. I just lost the hydraulics, so we're cranking it down now.
It's an emergency landing. The control tower calls in the airport fire crew.
We believe it's a
There's four souls on board. Four souls on board and 8,000 pounds of fuel.
Mikey and his brother Rod, the director of maintenance, guide Jimmy through the emergency procedure.
On the crank, there's a left and right main gear crank. There's marks on the chain that tell you if it's in position or not.
We're cranking it down now, so we may need a low and over Buffalo 27 just to take a look at it. I can't see the tailwheel from here, so.
Jimmy gets the first wheel down, and the gear light comes on. But there's still another to go.
I saw my gear lock, like literally.
On the ground, Mikey McBrien heads outside as the 46 flies over the hangar. The pilots can't see their tailwheel. They know it's dragging, but does it really look to be locked down? They need Mikey's eyewitness report fast.
Just my nervous, kind of nervous search, so I want to make sure the boys are okay.
Hey, is anybody here in the tailwheel?
They get the word from the ground. All wheels, including the tail, look good. But there's still no guarantee that they're really locked.
Still not 100% sure it's locked. You don't know it's down. You're still not 100% sure it's locked. One gear could still collapse. The green light came on, but you're still not 100% sure.
As a last desperate measure, Jimmy pours his final spare cans of fluid into the system.
I'm going to dig through a 5-gallon pail and pour some more in.
By now, the hydraulics are so dry, the system takes in every last drop Jimmy has on the plane.
We just don't have any pressure, so we'll see if we can get enough built up in there, 600 or so for the brakes. That'll be about it. We'll come into Annapolis.
The brake system is designed to store a small amount of reserve pressure. The crew has to hope it's enough. But even if the brakes work, they're not out of trouble.
What do you need to land? Usually flaps. So they elected a flapless landing, so they didn't have to try to use up excessive fluid that may be available for braking once they land.
Flaps are crucial to slow down the plane during landing. Without them, the crew could hit the runway at 220 kilometers an hour, which could simply be too fast for the brakes to handle.
91.
We're full gas. We got 12,500 pounds of freight on, and it's heavy. It's really heavy.
Well, gentlemen, you get the moment of truth at this.
Yeah,
you're under in about a minute.
No, just hang on for the ride. Hope for the best.
Company, it's fixed. The main system, zero pressure.
Captain Devin Brooks and his crew approach Yellowknife for an emergency landing after losing almost all of their hydraulic fluid.
Losing fluid speed is somewhere. Okay, I'm going to top her off, okay?
Which means they can't use their flaps to slow them down.
We have a fire vehicle safe for you on the runway.
Roger.
And they're not sure if their brakes will work.
Hey, clear to land 33, check turn left, follow by 0.
But just when they line up for final approach...
When I said that, you know, now we're going to determine if it's down and locked... At that point,
with perfect timing, the system kicks back in.
Then I noticed the hydraulics start pumping.
It's circulating in the tank pretty good now. It wasn't before, eh? Sitting there dead.
A little high, a little fast for 5 foot.
But will this unexpected burst of pressure really hold out until they're safely on the ramp?
Well, you might as well use it up. Go on.
For now, brakes and flaps come back to life.
Pressure urged again. Let me go in. Go to 95.87. Pressure still good. There's 82. Oh, still got pressure.
The hydraulics have come through.
Yeah, bring the flap up. Roger, coming up.
Buffalo 508 to airport fire help.
Go ahead. 508.
Yep, just checking to make sure sure everything's okay. Do you guys need any assistance back at Buffalo Ranch?
No, thanks a lot. We're all good there now. Thank you.
Airport fire, I'll check. Have a good day.
Thank you.
I'll tell you something, Devin, he played her calm, cool, collective. He's a really good guy. Good pilot.
Devin and Ian did a hell of a job of maintaining their cool and getting this thing back on the ground.
Now, Devin's determined to figure out how the pressure came back and where the fluid went.
I just couldn't wrap my head around it. Where did we lose all this?
What do you have on board?
None of them has ever seen anything like this before. It's a complete mystery. But before this plane flies again, they need to find out what caused the sudden pressure drop and fluid loss in the hydraulic system.
So where did it go?
I don't know.
So it was either out of fluid this morning.
The tank was right up, though.
No, it wasn't out of fluid, right?
So where did it go?
It must have been an air.
Yeah, must have been a big airlock.
An airlock would be like cholesterol or something, just something clogging one of your blood vessels or arteries to the heart.
The crew thinks that yesterday's leak could have allowed an air bubble to form in the hydraulic lines. That would explain the sudden loss of pressure.
You turn on the tap and you expect a steady stream of fluid to come out and it sputters. The supply of fluid isn't getting pressurized in a solid stream. Simple. Sputtering tap.
But unlike a leak, an airlock wouldn't result in a loss of fluid. So it doesn't explain why the system ran so dry. So where did all that fluid go? Director of Maintenance Rod McBrien thinks he may have the answer.
The only way to get the gear down.
A release valve in the tail gear.
And it dumps everything so the gear will free fall.
Okay, I got you.
When Jimmy pulled the emergency handle to manually drop the gear, it automatically opened the valve.
Once it was up, that dumps all the fluid out of the entire system, and it comes out near the tail wheel.
And when that valve is open, it can also drain all your tank out too.
When you go emergency gear extension, it just dumps it to allow no lock so the gear can free fall. That's where the fluid goes.
But draining the fluid also cleared out the airlock. So when he added his last pail of fluid,
all of a sudden the valve and the tail closed and the hydraulics just started working again.
The mechanics check over the plane to confirm the theory.
The engineers have to check all the valves and everything to make sure they're shut, replenish the hydraulic tank.
After a thorough inspection,
let's give her another whirl.
The mechanics give Devin the word that the C-46 is now safe to fly. So he's ready to try again to get this load of generator exhaust parts up to Cambridge Bay.
See you later.
Well, let's get the show on the road, buddy. Everything still looks good.
7,500 for Cambridge. Looking for runway 33. No run up
record. You gotta get the job done with the cards you're dealt. I don't panic. I don't know. I've seen enough of them.
I have it. Go to. Roger.
Never know. There might be one day that I'll panic and know that I can't do anything about it. Knock on wood. I don't think it'll ever happen. I know it'll never happen.
Devin's already put this morning behind him. He's looking ahead, and he likes what he sees.
See Janelle smiling and say that she engaged, smile on her face. It's awesome.
Back at the hangar, it's time for Audrey to tell Buffalo Joe that she's leaving.
I know he's gonna care, but is he gonna be mad at me because he checked me out and it didn't work? I don't know. I hope for the best.
Joe's in a meeting, but it's now or never.
I have to tell you something.
What?
I found another job.
Well, then you go take that other job.
Okay.
today.
And when I saw the expression on his face, and when I saw the look in his eyes, I would just start crying.
That's his reaction, that's okay.
It was really not painful, but disappointing. I felt like he had no feeling whatsoever.
And that's a fact of life. Some people choose not to fly anymore. And if that's your choice, that's fine. I don't like the fact that I spend time to teach somebody something and don't use it.
Well, what can I say? What can I do? Like, nothing else to say. Just, okay, that's his reaction.
You could make the reference that, you know, Buffalo is like a family and it's losing a family member, but usually family members, real good ones, usually don't walk out, especially in the middle of a hard time. I push through. So honestly, the real family is the people that stick around.
The only reaction I had was to leave, and that was it.
It's moving day for Audrey Marchand. Her last day in this apartment, and her last in Yellowknife.
I'm really looking forward into moving down to Calgary and starting something else that I hope that I will be happier into it.
This afternoon, she heads south to start training as a flight attendant with a major airline.
That's the only thing I'm thinking about, just being happier. And being happier would be more free time and more time to go home and spend time with my family, that's for sure.
I just can't wait. It's going to be awesome, amazing. It's going to be warmer in Calgary, better weather, better everything. Yeah.
Audrey really did have a special place in the hangar. She really, really lit up the room when she's here. But by her quitting shows that she really didn't fit in when the chips were down.
I think I did a good job. For me, yeah. From some people's point of view, I obviously didn't do enough.
But Audrey did get something from her time here.
See you later. I think that the best thing that I get out of it is respect. It's respect yourself for what you are, for what you want, and don't let anybody pulling you down. I think that's what I really get out of Buffalo. The only thing that I wanted, it was flying. I just wanted to fly and be happy every single morning that I was stepping into my boots and getting to work. That's what I wanted, and that's what I still want. I still want to fly. I still want to be in the air because I still have that huge smile when I'm flying because I'm so happy because I love it.